Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another awesome episode of OEM TV. Once again, my name is Gavin Bowman, and I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft. Joining me here again, second time, repeat guest, is Jeff Gazer from Asus. This is where the applause comes in. Hey, Jeff, always great having you. Always great talking to you. But today, we've got some really interesting stuff to talk about that Asus is launching or just launched around the corner. Motherboards. It's like motherboard summer. After the new, we got a new line of CPUs coming out, new line of graphics cards coming out, and you guys are supporting that with your awesome motherboard. So to start off, we're going to talk about the Strix X99 gaming motherboard. So if you want to give the elevator pitch for that, I'll let you go ahead and take it off.
Yeah, I mean, gaming is a big part of what we do at Asus, especially in the kind of build your own PC community. It's always been the way to get the best possible performance for the games that you want to play. It's sort of the highest frame rates, the highest resolutions. So we focus a lot on building motherboards that are good for gaming, and the Strix X99 is really kind of the epitome of that. On the one end, it's part of the X99 platform, and it supports Intel's new Broadwell E processors, which have up to 10 cores in a single
Monsters.
Socket. So if you want like crazy performance, we have that on the CPU side. And then also, especially gamers, they're really interested in personalizing and customizing their PCs when they're building it themselves. So the Strix has a lot of new features that are specifically for that. We got really extensive RGB lighting on board, support for things like external strips, and you can even change the look of the board with removable decals and little 3D printed accent pieces as well. So we tried to make this board kind of the ultimate gaming board for people who want to build a really high-end rig and then also make it really personalized and unique.
That is awesome, and I'm so happy you mentioned the customizability option because it's not a gaming motherboard anymore unless it comes with RGB accents, right? I need my lighting. Well, that's awesome. So let's talk about cooling. It's a huge part of building out your own rig, right? It's super, super important. How does this Asus board support that?
Well, it's cooling for the motherboard itself is less about cooling the board and more about how you manage cooling for the entire system and the CPU. So what we've done a few things with this board to try to make it easier for people who are building their own systems. The first is a dedicated water pump header that's on the board. This is separate from the fan headers. You can actually repurpose it and have it control fans, but it's configured by default for water pumps because they require a constant voltage for optimal operation. So they don't actually play too well with the automatic fan speed controls that we have on the dedicated fan headers. So this just gives you an easy place where if you're installing one of these all-in-one water coolers that are popular these days, you just plug it right into the board and everything is all set up for you, and you don't have to worry about additional configuration. So,
which I love.
Really simple. Yeah. And it's actually really important for these new Broadwell E processors, because when you cram that many CPU cores onto a chip, the chip runs hot. I mean,
it
has the same 140-watt power envelope as the last generation Haswell E. But the extra cores, especially when you're overclocking, it heats up quite a bit. So we recommend water cooling if you're going to overclock the CPU, and especially if you're going to push the 10-core chip like we did with one of these systems.
Awesome.
So in addition to that, we've also got a dedicated header for high amperage fans. Some of the extreme overclocking guys like to use these insane industrial-grade cooling fans. So we've got a header that'll push up to 3 amps. And then we've got a whole bunch of other headers on the board for just standard fans. The nice thing about these is they'll auto-detect whether or not you're using a 3-pin DC fan or a 4-pin PWM fan and automatically optimize the profile for you. So there's very little you have to do when setting up a system other than basically just plugging the fans into the board.
Which is killer. Another thing you guys have is you guys have a graphical interface for interacting with these fan profiles, right?
Yeah, the nice thing is we have that in Windows if you want to use the Windows utility to adjust things, and we've got it in the UEFI if you just want to, if you don't want to run Windows software, you want to have a clean install, you can do everything in what used to be called the BIOS, including we actually have a calibration routine. So what it'll do is it'll test the actual speed range of each fan that's connected to the system, and then let you optimize the response profile for how it reacts to temperatures. And one thing we've actually added with this generation as well is the ability to control how quickly a fan spins up and spins down in response to temperature changes. That way, if you're doing something relatively easy and you have a short burst of activity, the fan isn't necessarily going to ramp up to full blast if it was only a short burst. So we try to do little things to, you know, make the acoustic profile of a system as nondescript as possible. As much as we like high-end systems that are overclocked to the brink, we also believe that they should also be, you know, as quiet as possible when you don't need that extreme cooling. And we want to make it easy for people to configure that themselves. Or in the case of this board, comes with our five-way optimization software, which will actually go and optimize the cooling profiles for all of your fans automatically as well.
Oh, love that. Love that. Yeah, you're right. I would appreciate my desktop not sounding like a diesel truck in my living room, right? That's a big thing for me.
It used to be a sign of pride. I remember when I started building your PCs, if it didn't sound like a jet engine was taking off, you hadn't overclocked, you know, hard enough.
Really? Oh, my gosh. So I'm clearly from a different era. I'm just like, you know, the quieter, the better. I want to actually be able to hear my game when I'm playing it. That is hilarious. So specifically, to talk about the Strix X99 gaming, because we did mention enhanced cooling control and things of that nature, but that's for the X99 boards across the board, right? That's not just for Strix, right? So let's talk about, before we move into that, I'm going to talk about one of the things that I find super, super cool in these new motherboards, and that's safe slot support. So safe slot, Jeff, is pretty much allowing you in a world where graphics cards keep getting heavier, right? It's support for that PCIe slot so that I don't have to worry about shattering it anymore. Is that what you're telling me with safe slot?
That's basically what it is. I mean, graphics coolers keep getting heavier, and if you're transporting a system to LAN parties or shipping it anywhere, you know, there's a risk of damage when you have that much weight hanging on a relatively small slot. So what safe slot does is we use an insert molding process to integrate metal reinforcements into the walls of the slot itself. So that makes the slot stronger and more resistant to sort of the shearing forces you get when a graphics card is kind of hanging there on it. And then we've also added additional solder anchoring points, so it's more securely affixed to the motherboard as well. So, you know, some people, they forget to, you know, loosen the tab when they're trying to pull a graphics card out and, you know, yank the entire slot. So we've done as much as we can to make the slot as strong as possible, and in internal testing at least, it's stronger in all directions than sort of competing reinforced slots from some of our competitors.
That is so awesome to hear. Full disclosure, well, almost full disclosure, I've ruined more motherboards than I care to admit. And this just seems like a saving grace for me, especially when you want to transport your system, right? If you have that LAN party on your campus, or if you're a game developer and you're taking your PC that you have like a working demo of your game on, you want to show it off at events, there's a ton of reasons why you'd want to actually move your giant rig, and no one is okay with supporting that. So I'm so happy there's a thing for this now. That like makes my day. So let's talk about the build you guys had with the X99 motherboard, right? So you want to go over the specs for me? It's insane, by the way, guys. This is an insane machine. I want it. Jeff is going to give it to me after he talks about it.
Oh, I wish. Yeah, well, we launch a new motherboard. It's, you know, it's one thing to present a motherboard just kind of as this bare board and this bare component, but it's a lot more interesting, we think, and a lot more fun for us if we build a system around it that's kind of embodies what the motherboard is all about. So what we did with this one is we tried to put together a high-end gaming rig. We didn't go super top of the line on the process. We only used the 8-core, the Core i7 6900K. So yeah, only 8 cores,
only eight
16
cores,
threads,
guys.
You know, only double what you get in, you know, the standard desktop platform for Intel. So we did some interesting things with that maybe we'll get into in a little bit. We added some Corsair Dominator memory. It's a new ROG certified Dominator DIMM. So these have a matching red heatsink for kind of the red and black ROG look.
Got
some embedded LEDs in them. It's capable of super high DDR4 memory speeds, which is nice. We used actually a whole bunch of Corsair components. The liquid cooler is an H100i. It's a dual fan radiator, which when you're overclocking a Broadwell eCPU comes in really handy.
Right.
We're also using one of their power supplies. It's fully modular. It lets us do really clean cable routing. And their 760T enclosure, which has this really beautiful edge-to-edge side window that gives just a beautiful view of the internals and all the lighting that we have inside. And then on the storage side, we equipped this with an M.2 SSD, one of the new PCI Express models from Kingston, the HyperX Predator. And then for, you know, your giant Steam library, we've got a 6 terabyte mechanical hard drive in there because As much as I love SSDs, you know, every time that Steam sale comes around and my library keeps growing and, you know, it gets really expensive to put all that on solid state storage.
Exactly. Mechanical still has the bang for the buck, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's a Western Digital Black, right? So it's got...
It is.
Pretty much
7200 RPM, so it's not too slow for a mechanical. It's not SSD speed, but actually one of the nice things about this motherboard as well is we've got loads of storage options on the board. There are actually 10 SATA ports in total. So if you wanted to load this thing up with a massive RAID array, you can do that. And in addition to the M.2 slot, we have a U.2 port, which supports Intel's 750 series SSDs. So if you want to go sort of even higher end on the storage rung, we support that as well.
Awesome, awesome. So just to cover M.2 for anyone that doesn't know, it's a pretty new standard, right? M.2 drives are sort of taking the PC market by storm. They're super small SSDs that don't require a SATA cable, right? So you just take this and plug it on into the M.2 slot, right? And so
it shoots
up your read-write speeds as a result.
Yeah, they were actually designed for notebooks. So they called them gum stick SSDs because it's about the size of a stick of Juicy Fruit or one of those pieces of gum. It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a lot of storage. I think some of the drives are up to a terabyte now on this tiny little stick that, it plugs right into a slot on the motherboard itself. There's no cables. You don't need to have a drive bay separately for it. There's no separate power leads. And it's really, really fast. The slot on the motherboard supports PCI Express Gen 3x4, which is multiple times the speed of a SATA connection. The actual drives themselves are, in the 4 to 5 times the speed of a SATA drive right now, if you're talking about sequential transfer rates. And the actual slot has even higher capacity for that. So about 4 gigabits per second for the slot itself, which is insane.
Awesome. So these things are, this machine is killer. This is an amazing machine. Thank you so much for giving it to me, Jeff. So let's, since this is my new machine, right, I want to go ahead and talk about the lighting, right? Fully controllable lighting, full RGB, cross spectrum. I can play with any color I want. I can customize any color I want, right? Make it match with my mouse, which matches with my keyboard, which matches with the monitor, with the light coming from my monitor. It's amazing. But there's also support for 3D printing components in this motherboard. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, we tried to go all out on the customization with this. So that starts with the lighting on the motherboard. There's actually several different lighting zones on the motherboard. There's some LEDs behind the I.O. shroud. There's an ROG logo in the center of the board. And then we've got more lighting around the PCI Express slot. So you can configure those all separately with different effects and different colors, or you can synchronize them all together if you want. Some of the effects we have are actually really cool, too. Instead of we've got the usual blinking and strobing and things like that. But we also have a mode that reacts to music if you want to put on, a little rave in your room, or one that actually reflects the CPU temperature as well. So it actually gives you sort of a functional use for something that's traditionally thought of as only kind of a cosmetic thing. In addition to the onboard lighting, we also have a 4-pin header on the board, so you can connect just sort of standard off-the-shelf RGB LED strips. And the header supports up to 2 meters of lighting with
what
we call optimal brightness. You can attach a little bit more if you're willing to live with a slightly lower glow. And, you can see from the little video clips and pictures that it makes the system just look unreal. We cooperated with the guys at Cable Mods. They sent us a bunch of their wide-beam magnetic LED strips, which are fantastic. They just stick on with magnetic strips, so you can move them around really, really easily. We chained 3 of the 60-centimeter strips together to make this build, and it just looks phenomenal.
Right, it's gorgeous.
Even if you don't want the sort of crazy, in-your-face blinking lights, you can set a nice, low, subtle color for what you were talking about, exactly, like matching other system components and kind of making your system look like more of a cohesive thing than this kind of patchwork of different components. So that's really cool.
Agreed.
And then on the other side, if you don't want to do the customization with the lighting, or you just want to complement it with even more customization, we've got different decals for the board itself. So it comes with orange ones pre-installed. You can swap those for, we've got pink, green, and silver that all come in the box. So if you want to change the look around to match either the lighting that you've selected or some of your other system components, or you can take off the decals completely and go for a sort of a stealthy blacked out look. And then on top of that, If you don't want to do the decal thing, we actually have three different points on the board where you can affix 3D printed accent pieces. So if you want to come up with your own, you know, logos or your own kind of, you know, aesthetic treatments, you can print them out yourself and put them on the board. So we'll be releasing the 3D files for those so people can basically customize the board as much as they want.
That is awesome. Are they CAD files so I can just like take this and put it anywhere? Can I print my giant G logo on my motherboard?
You will be able to do that. Yes.
In
certain situations, you kind of have to worry about clearances for other products, like the one plate that we have that you can put on the PCH heatsink. You kind of have to worry about leaving room for graphics cards. So there are some limitations to what you can do. But we just want people to make their PCs as much their own as they can. I mean, that's something that builders have been doing for a long time. And anything we can do to encourage that and give people more tools, you know, we're going to try to do that.
I love that. That's killer. So why we actually mentioned graphics cards, let's go ahead and talk about that for this build, right? That's like, in my opinion, it's like, that's what ties it all together, right? GPU, right? That's what you end up spending ridiculous amounts of money on and going broke in college for.
It's sort of the most important thing for gaming performance. You know, we talk about this a lot when we're building systems about where to allocate your budget. And if you're building a gaming rig, you want to put as much of your money as you can into the graphics card because most games are bound by graphics performance. And if you're doing VR stuff, that's also very heavy on graphics loads. So that's what we did in this system. Now, we originally expected with a GeForce GTX 980 Ti, a special ROG Matrix version of that card that we have. And that's an awesome card, and it's really cool. And then NVIDIA came and announced the GeForce GTX 1080 and completely ruined the party.
Monster.
So, yeah. And so if you're going to look at this build, just imagine our Strix 1080 in there, because that's going to be available starting June 4th. It's going to be faster than the GTX 980, and it's an insane card. It's actually designed to match the motherboard. So it's part of the Strix family. It has RGB lighting both on the fan shroud itself and on the back plates. You can see a nice little illuminated logo. You can control those just like you can with the motherboard. And with a future software update, there'll actually be a way to synchronize the lighting on the motherboard with the lighting on the graphics card. So it's
that
all kind of this cohesive thing that, you know, matches the colors or whatever effects that you want to do automatically.
The
new Strix card has a few other cool kind of features that we've added to it. We've added an additional power connector if you want to overclock. The reference cards for the GTX 1080 have only a single power connector, and the card seems to be maybe a bit power limited if you want to push the clock speed really high. So we've added more power to the card. And we've also added a unique cooling system where what happens with sort of temperature-controlled cooling systems on a motherboard is that they generally control fan speeds based on either sensors on the motherboard or sensors on the CPU. They can't access the GPU sensor on the graphics card. And what happens in games where you have a really heavy graphics load is that you don't always have efficient system cooling for that because maybe your motherboard isn't heating up or the CPU isn't heating up too much. Mm-hmm. So what we've done with this new Strix graphics card is we put fan headers on the graphics card itself. So you can choose the system fans that are right near your graphics card, plug them into the graphics card, and then the speed of those fans will be controlled by the temperature of the GPU. So it's sort of, if you want to do more extreme overclocking, it gives you more airflow and lower temperatures, but if you just want to have sort of more intelligent system cooling for when you're gaming, you can also get it that way.
I love that. And my favorite thing is I'm not as huge into overclocking as I probably should be, guys, because, you know, I enjoy things just working. And so it sounds like once I get this all configured, it just works, right? Dependent on the GPU's temps. So that's killer. That's all I could ever want. Cool. So, Jeff, are there any other features that we didn't cover that we want to talk about for this build? This is a monster of a machine.
Brought up overclocking, I'm going to have to talk about that a little.
Go for it.
If you're not big into overclocking, we know that, you know, for a long time, overclocking was treated as this kind of black art that, you know, only a few people know how to do, and there are all sorts of secrets to getting top speeds. And that's true to a certain extent if you're on kind of the competitive scene and cooling things with liquid nitrogen and, you know, trying to set benchmark records.
Right.
But for a lot of people, overclocking is mostly about seeing how much of the headroom available in your CPU you can exploit with, you know, an off-the-shelf cooler and kind of minimal effort. And what we've done is we've kind of taken all of our expertise and all the experience that we have overclocking chips and put them into this software called 5-Way Optimization. And what this does is it overclocks your CPU for you. And instead of a lot of auto overclocking systems that are available on other motherboards, this one actually goes through the process of slowly increasing clock speeds, testing performance, increasing the clock speed again, testing performance again. It doesn't rely on kind of a pre-baked profile, which allows it to come closer to the, you know, the maximum speed that's possible with your individual chip and the cooling that you have attached to it. Because overclocking is all about kind of the capabilities of the silicon combined with, you know, how good is your cooling. Mm-hmm. So this is literally a one-click process. You can actually set some parameters for, you know, how stressful you want the stress test to be, whether or not you want the system to be stable for video encoding, which is very demanding compared to kind of, you know, even gaming. So you can configure those or even just, you know, click once, go with the defaults, and the system will overclock the processor automatically for you. So on the system that we built around this board, we had a 6900K, which, let me bring up the clock speeds here.
Please do.
Yeah, so this chip normally maxes out at 3.2 gigahertz when all the cores are active and 3.7 gigahertz when only one core is you know, doing work. Mm-hmm. So with just this one-click automatic overclocker and our, you know, Corsair liquid cooler, we were able to get up to 4.4 gigahertz with all the cores active, 4.5 with a single core. So that's a huge increase
in performance. That's killer, yeah.
From basically clicking a button in a Windows utility. Yeah.
So you know what?
No reason for you not to be overclocking at this point.
You know, your words tell me this, but my heart, Jeff, says that if I do it, I'm going to be that one guy to blow out his CPU. But you're saying five-way optimization handles all this for me. I can one click, just works.
Exactly. I mean, it's designed to behave like a human overclocker would. So it does things gradually. It increases the voltage gradually. If it crashes, then it dials things back. So it's one of those things where it will find the limit, and then it backs off from that limit and makes sure that what it's giving you as a result is perfectly stable. I know some competing solutions will basically, they look at the chip you have and then decide just based on that information, okay, this is the profile I'm going to give you. And that doesn't really account for not only the natural variance that occurs with different chips, but also the fact that some people are running air coolers that aren't as capable versus some people have these crazy liquid cooling setups. So this software routine basically finds the best possible result for your unique system.
I love it. That's awesome. Really cool. So with that being said, you guys should all check out the new Asus Strix X99 gaming motherboards, and check out this amazing build. It's gorgeous, and I just can't wait for it to arrive at my doorstep. It's going to be great. I want to thank you guys so much for checking out another awesome episode of OEM TV. Jeff, thanks again for coming. He's not going to go anywhere because we have a part two to this coming up. So for the prosumer, for the, you know, the guys who need huge workstations for being productive, we also have a motherboard to talk about for that vein. So stay tuned. Check us out next time on OEM TV.